Amen. Good morning, church. Great to see all of you here today. Before you grab a seat, will you take a moment to greet at least two or three people around you and welcome each other? Maybe you need to meet them and share your names for the first time. At least greet one another that way for a moment. Those of you who are online in the live chat, please drop a greeting there as well, just to let your brothers and sisters know that you're here together today. All right. Wow, good to see all of you here today. It's a joy to worship together, to be together as the family of God, and I'm excited to get into God's Word here today. Last week, we started off this series on redeemed relationships, talking about marriage, talking about things like dating and stuff like that leading to marriage, and talking about the purpose and how God can bring the redemptive love of Jesus into those relationships. And today, we're going to kind of continue moving forward with this series, and we're going to start talking about growing up, and specifically today, the role of parents. I was originally intending that we would talk about like both parents and kids today, but we're going to save being a kid for next week and kind of extend this series a little bit longer than I originally planned, and just focus specifically on that role of parents here today. And before we get into what I want to share with you here, I want to start with just a moment of gratitude. And so can you take like a minute? I'll give you a minute, and can you turn to somebody next to you, and can you share with them something that you're very thankful for from your parents? And I know we may have like a whole range of different experiences with our parents in this room, but I think it'd be great just to start by sharing with just something that we're thankful for our parents with somebody next to you here this morning. So I'll give you 1 minute to do that. Those of you who are online, please drop that in the live chat as well. Let us know what you're thankful for your parents. Let me give you just a minute, and then we'll continue with today's message. Sounds like many of us had a lot to share, which is great. You can definitely continue doing that later. In fact, something I would encourage you with, you can do it right now if you want, or after today's message, just to actually share with your parents today. Send them a text message if they know how to get text messages, or give them a call or whatever. Let them know that you're thankful for them today. I think that would be really great. I want to introduce you to my mom and dad. Here's a picture of them. They were great parents to me. I'm so thankful for my mom and dad. This is a picture of them from I think 16 years ago, if I remember right. I think that was 2006, and that's them in back of their house over in Chelsea, Michigan, where they were living at the time. And I'm really thankful for my parents. They, in so many ways, were really great to me. One particular thing I'm really thankful for them was that they made it a goal to be really involved in my life and my sister's life. My dad would always coach my sports teams, like my soccer team, my baseball team, when I was a little kid. He tried to do a lot with me over the weekends, taught me to use tools. I think I've talked about that before. I might mention that later. My mom was really involved in our schools. Both my parents tried to make our home a place where my friends would want to come over and spend time. In fact, sometimes after school, I would come home to my house and I would walk in the door and see one of my friends sitting on my couch eating my chips, playing my video games. I'm like, "What are you doing here?" And he was like, "What? I feel at home here." So I'm super thankful for my parents and just the way that they raised me and my sister, the environment they created in our house. And I hope that all of you have things that you are very thankful for your parents as well. And I want to start from a place of gratitude today, because we're at the same time as we think about just the way that God has worked in really positive ways through our parents, we also want to address some of the difficult things today. We're going to get into some points where maybe our parents weren't everything that they should have been for us. And I think for some of us, we're going to need to kind of take this in some different ways. For some of us here, all of us here have parents, whether they were in your life or not in your life, for whatever reason, every one of us here has parents of one shape or form who had a dramatic impact upon our lives. Some of us here are parents. You are parents, you are raising your kids, or you have raised your kids, and they're out of the house now. Even if you're not a parent yet today, most of us in this room probably will be future parents. That may not be for every single one of us, but most of us will be parents one day. And so we need to kind of take in what we're going to look in today in God's Word and try to process that through all those different lenses. For those of us who are looking at our parents and our relationship with them, looking at ourselves as parents, looking at ourselves as future parents. We want to really take this in and see what it is that God wants for this role of parenthood. And one thing I'll also mention alongside that is that this can be a message like this can sometimes be hard to connect with just because all of our experiences may be so different. And also I recognize there's a lot of cultural differences between parents coming from different backgrounds. I know that for my experience with my parents, both growing up in like West Michigan, that what it was like to be raised by them is probably different from someone who grew up in New York City. I know that that's probably different from someone who came from an immigrant family coming from Asia or Africa or Europe or Latin America, that there is just such a broad array of experiences across cultures and across unique families. So there's just a lot to process there, and I'm going to do my best to kind of be aware of all of that, but ultimately we want to find our foundation in God's Word and see what He has to say across all of that. So one thing for today to process and to try to work through is that parents need God's grace to demonstrate God's grace. Parents need God's grace to demonstrate God's grace. And we're going to try to just kind of unpack that through the Word of God today. I don't have one passage for you today. I'm going to start by reading 8 different verses or chunks of scripture to you, because there wasn't just one story that I felt like could like put all of this together. I wanted to get a sampling across Old and New Testaments, across lots of different things that God has to say about this parenting role, and then try to kind of integrate that and figure out what to make of that together. So I'm going to start here. If you do want to have one passage to kind of focus on, I would say it's this first one, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. These are all going to be on the screen for you so you can follow along and you can go back and look at these passages and verses later on as well. Starting with Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. 1 Timothy 5, 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14b. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Psalm 127, verse 3, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Proverbs 13, 24, Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 3, 11 to 12, My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Colossians 3:21, Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Let's pray as we take in God's word today. God, we invite you to speak through your word today. Lord, these relationships with parents, whether our own parents, whether ourselves as parents, whether ourselves as future parents, God, we recognize the importance, the value, the weight of these relationships. We thank you, God, for this role that you created. Whereas parents, we get to bring forth new life. We get to raise children. We get to experience the love of God from our own parents. We thank you for all of that, God, the way that you've designed the family. And we pray today, Lord, that as we read your word, as we process it and try to lay down some foundations, we ask, God, that we would not only see your design and purpose, God, but that we would also see how you give hope, how you give grace, how you give healing and restoration when things don't go according to plan. So come and bless us today and lead us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we did last week, we're going to start this morning as we take a look at parenting and this parent relationship by talking about God's design and purpose. And as a big kind of umbrella idea across that, One thing we could just kind of broadly think about parenting as is that parents should be representing God's character and demonstrating the gospel for their kids. That's kind of a broad sweeping statement for this role of parenting. But we're going to go through and just mention several of the things that we saw in the verses that we just read to see what is it that God actually wanted parents to do and what is their role in the life of their kids specifically. The first thing that we see here in Deuteronomy 6 is that parents are meant to model a life of devotion. I don't know if you have something like this that you can directly see in your family, but kids tend to take on the characteristics of their parents, right, in a lot of different ways. Some of that is, you know, you see that in physical appearance, like, oh, he's got his father's eyes or his mother's smile or his hair is like this or whatever. But a lot of that comes out in, like, how we live. One of the things that I remember growing up was my house was always filled with books and my parents read a lot. And that was something that they impressed upon me. So as I grew up, I started just reading a lot because that was something that my parents did. By the way, one summer, they actually paid me $1 a day to read an hour a day. Isn't that weird? Did any of your parents do something like that? Mom, that was weird. My mom's watching today, I think. That was weird, but it worked. They never had to pay me again. I just kept reading even more than that hour. It worked somehow. So I grew up in a house where my parents read and where there were books all over the place, and so I just read a lot growing up. And we have to realize whatever it is our parents model for us, that is probably something that we're going to take on as a characteristic for ourselves. And in these verses in Deuteronomy, it says that before the parents think about teaching something to their kids or trying to get their kids to do something, it says model that yourselves first, parents. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. God's word should be on your heart. That's the first thing for parents, is to model devotion to God so that as kids grow up that they see that devotion, they see that commitment to the Lord. And I know I've heard just amazing positive stories from many people in our church over the years of just sharing, as I grew up, I saw my dad wake up every morning and open the Bible, and every morning I would walk by his room and I would see him there studying the scriptures. Other people would say, I remember every night my mom would come into my room and would pray over me as I fell asleep. Like, just stories like that saying, wow, my parents' example of just the way they devoted themselves to God made a huge impact on me. And I'll just confess right up front, this is something I personally feel like I need to grow in, because I realized recently, my life group's been talking about some things like this, and I realized, wow, when I spend time with God, when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm praying, I usually do that all to myself. And my son never sees it. Sometimes I'm opening up my Bible app on my phone and my son sees me, but he can't tell. Am I watching YouTube or am I reading the Bible? He has no idea. Right? And so I've started to think more about this. It's not just for me to have a relationship with God, but to show my son what it looks like to have a relationship with God and to demonstrate that. And as Maisha was sharing earlier, not to put on a show, but just to be a positive example and demonstrate what that looks like. That is a first priority. Another that we see here is to provide for their children. To provide housing, to provide food, to provide clothing, to provide basic needs. Nothing about this is saying provide luxuries. Luxuries can be great, but this is about providing basic needs. And I think for many of us, we probably saw our parents doing this in one way or another. I know for myself, I grew up with my dad waking up early in the morning, driving an hour to work, working long hours at his job, driving an hour home, and probably getting home late in the evening when we would quick eat dinner and then go to bed. And so I didn't see my dad a lot in my younger years before he retired. He was just working a lot, and that is part of the parent's role. That's part of the parent's role, to just to provide financially, physical needs for their kids. And that's a good thing. That's part of God's design. Another is to love compassionately. To love, and notice there in Psalm 103, verse 13, it actually says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So in describing God's love, The Bible actually says, look at the way your parents love you. That should show you what God's love is like. The love of a parent should be a picture, should be a bit of a foreshadowing of what the love of God is like. And the kid will understand God's love by the way their parents love them. That's meant to be a reflection there. That's meant to actually show the kids what that compassionate love is like. And then parents are meant to teach God's word. To teach God's word. Now, this is something I just did. I just did a little quick version of this sermon with our building blocks teachers downstairs before we started out up here. And something I shared with them is, I said, brothers and sisters, you can be thankful today. The work you do, the way that you serve our kids, the way you teach our kids, it's incredibly important. It can have a huge impact on their lives. But the primary responsibility to teach the kids of our church about God is not yours. It is their parents. And that's something that I think is a hard thing to hear for some of us. It's hard for me to hear. You know, I think, well, am I doing that? Am I taking responsibility to teach my son about God? Or am I just outsourcing it? Like, it's great for kids to go to something like Building Blocks. Like, I was walking in with my son today. We're walking in hand, and he said, I didn't even ask him. He just said, Dada, Building Blocks is usually really fun. I was like, usually? But he said that. He was like, this is great. Like, sending your kids to Building Blocks, Sunday school, youth group, something like that, that's great. You know, even I know some parents will make a decision like, I'm going to send my kids to Christian school because I want them to grow up and learn in that environment. And that's great. It's great. But none of that takes the place of the parent's role to teach God's word throughout the day. Like, I love the way that this is put in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, talk about it when you're sitting around the house, and when you're walking along the road, and when you lie down to sleep at night, and when you get up in the morning. He says, put up reminders around the house to remind the kids of who God is, remind the kids of God's word, of his truth, of his love. Put those things up and take that responsibility upon yourselves, parents. That you will be that primary source of your kids learning about the love of God. And if you're like me, and if you're a parent today, you probably hear that and you're like, oh gosh, I feel like I'm really falling short. That's okay. We can see God's design and purpose, and today is an opportunity to recognize things and to be resolved to grow. And for some of us who aren't parents yet, to say, that's what I want to aspire to in my future family one day, to teach God's word to my kid. The next one, to discipline and direct the children. Now, this is super important, sometimes misunderstood, sometimes misused, but this is really important. One thing that I've learned as a parent is kids actually thrive when they have structure, when they have boundaries, when they have direction, when they have expectations. And in fact, now as I look back to my own childhood, I remember some friends that I went to school with whose parents were really absentee parents. They were never home. They hired, some of them come from very wealthy families. The parents were never home. They were out of town all the time, and they just hired somebody to raise their kids. And the kids had no boundaries. And I remember some of the, just watching some of my friends in school growing up and seeing them in those situations and realizing, like, it looked like freedom at the time. It looked like they got to do whatever they want. They bought whatever they wanted. They behaved however they wanted. They never faced any consequences from their parents. Parents were constantly getting calls from the school and never picked up and never called the school back, never came to parent-teacher conferences, never any of that. The kids were just running wild. And as I watched them grow up, realized the insecurity that was inside of them, the lack of love that was in their hearts, the desperation for attention that caused them to act out just to get some kind of attention in their lives. Kids do not thrive without discipline, without boundaries, without direction. They thrive in it. And that's why there are these instructions from God's word saying the parents need to discipline and direct their children. Something I want you to be aware of as we read verses like this, and we'll talk about later how these can sometimes be abused, but when it says things like, whoever spares the rod hates his son, saying if you don't discipline your child, you're actually doing harm to them. You're not providing some benefits, some blessing to them. You're doing harm to them. Now, the other side of that is we need to understand what that rod is. We're not going to talk here all about corporal punishment and should you spank your kids or not. That's a much bigger conversation we don't have time for. I know for many of us, when we hear that word rod, we think of physical punishment. We think of, like, you know, someone actually, like a parent actually hitting their child with something. And I know many of us in this room probably experienced that growing up in one way or another. I know my parents spanked me when I was a kid. When we think about that, you need to understand that rod in Scripture means more than just physical punishment. That rod, in fact, throughout Scripture, you'll see a lot of references to God and to this staff, this rod that he carries, that is not just about physical punishment, but is about authority and direction and protection. Think about Psalm 23. Many of you are familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lays me down in green pastures. All those good things. And it's a very pleasant, it's a very joyful, it's a very peaceful, a very protective psalm. Right? God even sets a table before King David in the presence of his enemies, but David still feels safe. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Right? For the parent to say, well, God says, don't spare the rod, so I'm going to be really harsh on my child. That is not the intent of that rod. The parent should have authority in the life of their kids. Yes. The parent should correct their children when they do wrong. Yes. The parent should maybe sometimes bring consequences for the kids when they do things that are wrong. Yes. But the way that rod is exercised should actually create a sense of safety, of security, a sense of belonging, a sense of comfort and peace, knowing that that mom and that dad are there ultimately protect and guard them and watch over them. This is not something that should be validating abuse, that should be validating anything like that, ever. No one should be able to look at a verse like that and say, you know, whoever spares the rod hates his son, and take that as an excuse to hate their son. That should never happen. This is meant to be something really positive, and it should bring, and the parental role is to bring that correction, to bring that discipline, sometimes to enforce consequences, to do those things in age-appropriate ways as the children grow up. And this is something we'll talk about later, but this is something that gradually needs to be let go of. You know, it's very appropriate. Let's say if you have a young child and they are going to run into the street and get hit by a car, it is entirely appropriate for that parent to yell at that child, for that parent to say, stop, for that parent to grab that child, maybe for that child even to receive a spanking or something, to let them know, hey, this is for your protection. As that child grows up, they will need to experience maybe less of that so that they learn to make decisions, to have wisdom, to make choices that are going to honor God and they're going to be for their own good. That gradually needs to be released as the child grows up. But this is an important part of the parental role. Ultimately, the parents are stewarding God's gift to them. The child does not ultimately belong to the parents. The child belongs to God. God has given that child as a good gift. A good gift meant to be received with joy, with thankfulness. I know many people in the world, even some here in our church, really struggled to conceive, struggled with wanting kids and feeling like it was a long time coming. And that joy of receiving that gift is enormous. But even in that joy, that should not be something where the parents then say, okay, this is mine, mine, all mine. No, this is still a gift from God, for God, only placed into your care for the time that you are raising them. And ultimately, through all of this, the parents are called to demonstrate the gospel itself. I put a couple references there of passages that are too long for us to cover additionally today. But as we talked about last week, in that marriage relationship, the parents, as they love each other, as they forgive one another, as they choose to persevere together, as they resolve conflict together, as they extend the grace of God to each other, they are demonstrating the gospel to their kids. In fact, parents and future parents, this is one thing I would highly encourage you with. Have disagreements in front of your kids in age-appropriate ways, and then let them see you forgive each other. That is huge. They will see the gospel in that. They will see that you're able to forgive each other. They will see the grace of God extended in their parents. That will actually make them more secure, knowing that even when mom and dad go through conflict, even when there's conflict between me and mom and dad, that forgiveness is there, grace is there, acceptance is there. That is powerful. And then that grace gets extended. Like in the story of the prodigal son that we'll probably talk a bit more next week, that grace is then extended to the kids as well. That the kids get to know, if I mess up, if I need to be disciplined, if I need to be corrected, if I make a bad decision, still God's grace is shown to me through my parents. That demonstration of the gospel is so important. Brothers and sisters, I want us to reflect on this real quick. I pray that for many of us, that we can see at least aspects of all of this in our own parents. For those of us who are parents right now, I pray that we could see these things and say, that's who I want to be. I want to be that kind of parent for my kid. And for those of us who are going to be future parents, we can say, I want to be that. This parenting relationship is a very high and difficult calling. But it is perhaps the most important and impactful role you will ever be in. You will have more impact on your kids than probably any other relationship, even your spouse, even your closest friends. Your spouse you probably met when they were an adult already. They already went through their formative years. You get to form and shape your kids. You will have more impact on this relationship than any other in your life, most likely. There's incredible possibility here to imagine your kids growing up, seeing their own parents loving and serving God, devoting their lives to Him, seeing that they feel provided for, they feel safe, they feel secure, they're experiencing the love of God at home, they're being taught the truth of God's word so that they have a foundation, they're being given appropriate direction as they go through decisions and challenges in life, their parents care for them as a gift from God that doesn't belong to them, that belongs to God. They see the gospel at work in their family. And now that kid, as they grow up, as they hear about God and God's love, they say, yeah, that makes sense because I saw it at home. They hear about God's grace. They say, yeah, that makes sense. I saw it at home. They hear that they can always come home to God, even when they've made the worst mistake of their life, because they say, yeah, I experienced that with mom and dad. That is a powerful thing for parents to be able to provide for their kids. It is an amazing thing. It is a difficult thing, but no matter how hard we try, none of us here, none of our parents before us, none of us will be parents in the future, none of us will ever be perfect parents. We will always fall short. We will always mess up in some way, probably many, many ways. And that's what we need to start kind of unpacking here to experience more of the grace of God in our own lives, in our own families, and for our future. How is it that we sometimes fall short in these parenting relationships, and what effect does that have on us? I think we need to recognize this because whatever happens in these parent and child relationships will dramatically affect the future of your family. We can see this in little ways and big ways. I remember probably 2-3 years ago, I was building something together with my son, as we like to do. I remember I was trying to involve him in putting together a piece of furniture or something. I don't think it was any big project. And we were sitting down together and working on this on our family room floor. And I remember asking my son, saying, Nicholas, can you get me this tool? And it was something I had taught him about before to recognize and to know how to use. I said, Nicholas, can you get this tool? Can you hand it to me? And I'm sitting there waiting, and he's looking around, and the tool's like right there, but he's just like, you know, he picked it up, he looked at it, he put it down, and I was just like, and I'm getting impatient. I'm like, I got other things to do today. And so I just snapped at him. I said, Nicholas, it's right there. And I pointed out, I grabbed it, I put it in his hand, I said, now give it to me. And I remember just seeing this sadness come over his face. Something that was like a joy for him, something that he looked forward to, something that he felt like he could really connect with me on. This is one of the ways we connect with each other. Suddenly it was something where he felt really like I was being harsh with him. I was being impatient with him. I was discouraging him. And I saw this sadness come upon his face. And I remember in that moment thinking, why did I do that? Why did I respond that way? And then I remembered this moment when I was a kid, and I was in my backyard, and my dad and I were working on making a bed for me, because my dad did that for me. And we're making this bed together, and my dad was asking me to help him. And I can't even remember specifically what it was that I was doing, but I remember my dad got impatient with me. Peter, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just do this? And I realized, again, whether in little ways or big ways, the ways that parents fall short will end up carrying on and having lasting effects into the future of their family. And that's why it's important to look at these things. They can be really hard to look at. For some of us, it can be really uncomfortable. And I might step on some toes here today as we look at these things. But it's important that we do. Because these ways that we fall short as parents, our parents fall short before us, we will in the future, these are things that will have a lasting effect on future generations of our families. So what is behind all of this? Just as we talked about last week, idolatry is the place to start. Why is it that we worship something apart from God? Why is it that we worship anything at all? It's because we find our identity, we find our sense of purpose, we find our value, we find our security in that thing. And for some people, maybe they idolize and worship money. Maybe they idolize and worship success in their career. Maybe they idolize and worship people's approval of them. Some people worship their kids. It's in my daughter, it's in my son, it's in my kids. They're going to make me feel secure. They're going to make me feel like my life matters. They're my source of future security when I can't work anymore. They're my source of identity. Their achievement equals my achievement as a parent. And so I begin to actually worship and idolize my kids. And my identity, my sense of who I am, my reputation, all of that, all of my value as a person is now tied up in how my kid grows up and whether they perform and achieve to my standards. That's idolatry. And for some parents, that then turns into teaching their kids to actually idolize them. I'm going to raise my child, my son, my daughter. I'm going to raise them to worship me because I want them to see me as their source of identity, their source of purpose, their source of significance, their source of security, their source of truth, their source of everything. So I'm going to teach my kids to idolize and worship me. And there is no room for God in that equation. There is no room to devote oneself to something higher and greater than any human relationship. And a lot of other brokenness falls out of all of this. One of the first things that I think that I've seen that can really kind of mess this up is distorting the roles of parents and children. Again, we'll talk more about that role of a child next week, but some ways that I think we can see this is sometimes trying to develop more of a peer relationship with a kid. I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl in my school who I knew a little bit. We weren't close friends, but we were had close mutual friends. And as I got to know her, found out that her parents had gone through a really painful divorce, and now she lived on her own with her mom, just her and her mom. Dad was out of the picture, and it was a very painful experience for her family. And now mom was obviously going through a lot. Her mom was going through a really difficult time. Her mom didn't have a lot of support around her. And husband is gone, not much in the way of friends outside the home. And so mom decided that her daughter was going to be her friend and her source of emotional security, her source of approval, her source of affirmation, her source of belonging. And so instead of being her mom, she decided she's going to be her friend. She said, I'm going to do my daughter's homework for her. I'm going to do all her school projects for her. I'm going to let her do whatever she wants. I'm going to buy her whatever she wants. I'm going to basically try to win my daughter's approval because now my daughter, I'm idolizing her, and I need her to provide that security for me. While her daughter may have enjoyed it in the moment that she didn't have to write papers, she didn't have to work on projects, she didn't have to do any homework, she might have enjoyed it that her mom gave her the financial whatever she wants. You know, she gave that to her. Her mom let her do whatever she want. But there's nothing that could replace not only her father now not being in the picture, but also her mother no longer being a mother to her. Her mother trying to be her friend more than actually providing that guidance, that teaching, that discipline, that model to follow. And I watched her grow up and see the insecurity that developed in her, the pain in her life, the discouragement that she went through, and no amount of someone else doing her homework, no amount of someone letting her do whatever she wanted could make up for that wound that she lived with. Other times, I see the situation of the parent and child roles being completely reversed, or maybe the parent's life is in a really bad situation, and for whatever reason, the child is now taking responsibility for the parent, providing for the parent, which sometimes can be a suitable thing to do to help out, disciplining the parent, correcting the parent, counseling the parent, trying to pick up the pieces of the parent's life that haven't gone to plan. And while that can be a genuine act of love from that child for their parent, for their family, nothing can replace the fact that that child no longer has a parent in their life. They have their own kid in their parent when they should have been able to raise their own kids one day. Nothing can replace that. This reversal and distorting of roles. Abuse is also something that can happen. And abuse, we'll talk about later, often has to do with control. But sometimes abuse can come in the form of verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse. All trying to maintain control over a child and going to extreme lengths to get it. This is all rooted in idolatry. My kid must be the way I want them to be, must provide the needs that I want them to provide for, so I'm going to do whatever I can to get my way. And I'm even going to use God's word to justify it, saying, well, if I spare the rod, I'm going to hate my child. False teaching, something else that can come out. I've heard of, and you know, whether far away or near, I've heard of parents teaching some pretty horrible things to their kids. You won't matter in life if you don't get this degree and have this profession. You're worthless if you don't have this GPA. You're dead to me if you don't marry this kind of person. Never associate with people of that ethnic group. Don't be friends with them. Definitely don't marry them. No one will marry you if you look that way. Fix your appearance. God couldn't love a kid like you. God won't forgive what you've done. I've heard some horrible things that parents have said to kids that are blatantly against the word of God that do enormous damage to that child as they grow up. This is a big one, this next one. Collecting debt. Collecting debt. What do I mean by that? I mean the mindset that if I as a parent have sacrificed for you, raised you, done everything for you, then now you owe me and you need to pay me back someday. Some of us might struggle with this at first. Wait, don't I owe my parents? Isn't it fair for them to expect that I would pay them back someday? Isn't it fair for them, with everything they've done for me, to feel like I owe them something and that they should be able to expect that from me? And some of us might really struggle with this thought, but let me explain it this way for a second, because this is a choice we have to make, parents. Let's say, for any of us in this room, let's say that you incur some debt. Let's say you go out and buy something on your credit card, and then you're going to get a credit card statement later saying, hey, you owe this much money. Let's say you take out some student loans, and you owe a bunch of student loans. It's going to take you years. Maybe it's going to take a lifetime to pay that back, right? Let's say that you take out a mortgage on your house or a loan on your car or whatever else it is. Now imagine that you're going to pay that bill. Let's say that you're going to pay your student loan payment. Are you going to write a nice love letter to send in along with your student loan payment? U.S. government, thank you so much. I love you. I love you because you paid for my college. I love you because you gave me this low, low interest rate. I love you so much. Thank you. Here is the payment. I love you. I devote my life to you. Are you going to write that kind of letter? Are you going to send some roses along with your credit card payment? Thank you, Bank of America. I love you so much. Here's some roses to put on your desk. It's my privilege to send you the payment for my car loan or whatever else it is. Are you going to do that? No. And it's because debt destroys love. And parents and kids, you need to see this. I know there may be some parents in this room that this is your thought process toward your kid. I did everything for them. I sacrificed for them. I worked hard for them. Now they do owe me. And I understand that. But you have a choice to make, parents. If you want your kids to be thankful and to love you from the gratitude of their hearts, you need to let go of that debt. And say, this is not what I hope for my kids. I don't want my kids to spend their life paying me back like their student loans. I want my kids to receive love freely from me so they'll be thankful, so that then they will love me from the thankfulness of their hearts. That's the choice you have to make. Those of you here who will be future parents, you do not want to be the lender for your kids' debt, to be holding it over them for the rest of their lives, trying to control them with it, trying to demand it of them. You know what you do towards someone who holds a debt over you? You try to get out of it as soon as possible. And you get as far away from them as you can. When you're done paying your student loan debts, you're never going to want to send another payment in to Navient or whoever else. Right? When you pay off your credit card, I never want to go back and pay another credit card bill again. If someone holds a debt over your life, you naturally want to get as far away from them as possible. And parents, if you try to hold a debt over your kids, that's what you're going to get. You can only hold on to that debt for so long before your kids will start to say, I don't want to be near you. And none of us as parents want that. So stop collecting debt. It's a self-defeating thing. You're longing for love from your kids. You're longing for care from your kids. You're longing for your kids to be there for you in your time of need. But by holding that debt over them, saying, you owe me for this, you're defeating yourself and most likely guaranteeing that they're going to be as far from you as possible. And they're going to try to escape your grasp as quickly as they can. Don't go that direction. Control and manipulation. Rather than disciplining a child as God's gift to you, rather than providing direction to them in age-appropriate ways, trying to control and manipulate. This can look like a lot of different things. Daughter, you're the reason I'm sad all the time. You're the reason that we can't afford this, you know. You're the reason that Dad gets angry. I can't sleep at night because of you. And sometimes these get into the things of physical abuse and again, even spiritual abuse for the sake of control. God told me this is what you're supposed to do. That control and manipulation can run really deep. Again, it's rooted in idolatry. Say, I want control of my kids' life. I want them to do what I want them to do. And ultimately, as an end to all of this, parents who give a love that must be earned. I'm going to love you, my daughter, my son, but only if you achieve, only if you perform, only if you do what I want. If you make the decision I want, oh, I love you. Let me give you a hug. If you fall short of expectations, I'm not talking to you today. I don't want to be seen next to you today because you've fallen short. A parent who wants their child to earn their love is saying, I want to be God to my child, and I want them to forever be dependent upon me and my approval. It's a situation I think many of us have been in. these areas of sin and parenting where we fall short, they break trust in one of the closest relationships that we have in our lives, and they distort God's purpose in that relationship. The result of that is that love turns into obligation. Pain consumes that relationship. People start hiding from one another within the home, living double lives. Bitterness consumes the heart. Fear hangs over the relationship, and regret hangs over that person for the rest of their life, knowing this is not the way that it is supposed to be. And as a bigger consequence of that, again, these things affect the family, affect the parent-child relationship, but remember what we said earlier, the parents should be reflecting God's character and demonstrating the gospel. And for so many kids, they grow up saying, I cannot understand the grace of God because I've never experienced forgiveness in my family. I cannot experience the love of God because I've never experienced that kind of care from my parents. And that view of God gets distorted and broken and becomes elusive to somebody who's gone through this kind of upbringing in their family. We're not without hope, so let's end with talking about redeeming parents. And before I start talking about this, I want to take a moment to share about a 5-minute video with you from a sister in our church, who a part of my life group actually, that she shared something with our life group when we met about a week ago, and I contacted her and said, hey, I think it'd be great if you could share this with our church about some of her experiences with her parents growing up. So went over to their house last night and recorded her in her living room, and you can hear our kids playing in the background, so please excuse that. But our sister Dohi decided that she was willing to share a little bit about her relationship with her mom, some of the things she went through, and how God brought redemption and restoration there. Let's watch just for a few minutes, then we'll wrap up.
When I reflect back on my childhood, I had actually 2 great parents, and in some ways I had this very suburban, typical childhood. But my relationship with my mother was actually very challenging, and I would say really difficult. In retrospect, I wasn't the easiest child to parent, and so I think some of the frustrations that my mother experienced with me, I can relate to even more now, but it did lead to many instances that I think left significant emotional scars for me, things that I'm actually even still working through to this day, to be honest, to be fair. Later on, as I went to college and I became an adult in my own right, we were able to repair that relationship. And I really, was grateful to God that I was able to forgive my mother, at least let go of some of that anger and bitterness and resentment that I held in my heart against some of the things that had happened to me as a child, or she had done to me as a child, and that I was able to move on. And if you had asked me in my mid-20s what our relationship was like, I think I would have told you honestly that we had actually a great relationship, that we were very close, that we enjoyed a good relationship, mother and daughter relationship. But what I didn't realize was that it wasn't as simple as that. And I didn't realize this until many years later in my late 20s. My mother had actually just lost her own mother, and I was actually living with my parents for a short period of time. And she and I were just in the kitchen one day. We're just tidying up, doing some chores, and she was reflecting on not only her relationship with her mother, but her relationship with her own daughters. And she said very much casually in passing, I really don't think I was that nice to you sometimes, and I regret that, and I should have been more loving. And I'm sorry about that. And she said it really very much in passing, as she gave me something else to do in the kitchen. And I said, well, thanks, I appreciate that. And then I went and did the thing that she made me do. And we didn't speak of it again. We didn't really dwell on it in any way. But afterwards, I realized how much that meant to me. That very simple, casual apology, that acknowledgement that she caused a significant amount of pain in my early childhood meant the world to me. And I think I had thought that I had forgiven her, but there was still something I really needed to hear, and that the blessing of that apology allowed me to really relinquish a lot of the pain in a way that I had not understood. And so I think on the surface of it, nothing really changed, but it changed something in my heart. And I think that was a gift that God gave, even without me asking for it, because I didn't know that I needed it. I didn't notice that I was behaving any differently without it. I am forever grateful for that, that God provides in ways that you don't even know how to ask. And so, you know, the irony of it is that I'm now a mother. I have two kids, and yet I find it really difficult to apologize. And, you know, I realize, even as casual as that moment was, how much it cost my mother to put her pride aside, to acknowledge that maybe she didn't live up to the expectations that she had for herself, and that she hurt someone in the process. And while I would love to always be able to do the same for my own children, I find it really hard. And so, you know, I think it's telling how powerful of a sin that pride can be. And so, you know, we all try. But it is really life-changing to acknowledge when we've sinned to the person we've sinned. And I can, you know, personally testify to that.
Thankful to Dohi for sharing that with us. Oh, getting some echo. By the way, she made us a really nice dinner, too. But as we think about our relationships with our parents, for some of us, maybe you can't imagine your parents ever apologizing to you for anything. That just seems like the furthest thing. But this is something that we need to process through together, and I want to encourage us to go through as a church family, because I know that even during our retreat that we had recently, God was bringing to the surface a lot of things having to do with our parents and those relationships. What do we do with this? What do we do from here? The first thing I want to encourage you to do is to look to the cross. This is our source of hope. Your parents, or you as a parent, or you as a future parent, you will never be able to do enough to make up for the things that you have done to your kids, the ways that you've fallen short of God's design and purpose. You will never be able to do enough. But do you know that this is what Jesus died on the cross for? 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Many of us, we have been wounded from our parents. Some of us, we've been sinned against. Some of us, we recognize that and we feel overwhelmed by guilt and we're just like, "God, where do I go from here?" Some of us have these wounds that were uncovered a couple of weeks ago and you're like, "Oh God, how do I deal with this?" Start by coming to the cross and recognizing that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed to forgive you, to forgive others for their sins, that is going to start to bring that forgiveness, that healing, that transformation, that it is for our parents. That our parents, as much as many of us grow up seeing our parents as almost these untouchable figures, maybe you have a high admiration for your parents, which is great, but can you acknowledge that they needed Jesus to die for them too? and for yourself, recognizing, well, I'm going to be a parent one day. I need that grace and mercy of God for myself. It is only through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross that there can be healing, there can be forgiveness, there can be restoration, and we can move forward together as a family. After that, I want to encourage you to acknowledge and confess sin, and this is where it might get really hard. I've talked to enough people in our church over many, many years now to know that for many of us, this is one of the hardest things to do when it comes to our relationship with our own parents. And some of you struggle with this with your relationship as a parent toward your kids. It can be the hardest thing to look at mom or dad and see how much they have loved and how much they have given and how much they do care and how hard they have tried and still be able to acknowledge and confess that there was something wrong. But until you do acknowledge that there was something wrong, there can never actually be forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation. And so this is one of the hardest and most important things that you need to do. And before it ever becomes a conversation between you and your parents, it might need to start just with you and God and maybe some people around you who you love and care for and who you trust to say, this is something that I went through in my relationship with my parents, and I'm starting to wrestle with the fact that maybe it wasn't right. And we're going to have to deal with the fact that we want to rationalize and justify things that our parents have done because we don't want to in some way dishonor them, or we don't want to in some way think poorly of them, or we want to think of our childhood in a certain way. But at some point, we need to wrestle with that and say, wow, I think that what my dad did in this situation was actually abusive. I think that what my mom did in this situation was actually controlling and manipulative. I think that what happened here was actually a false teaching that I took into my life and I started believing, and it's deeply affected me. I think what I went through here was that I felt like I had to earn the love from my parents rather than freely receiving love that was freely given. And until we come to an acknowledgement of that, to just being honest with that before God first, it is very hard to move forward from that. If you can't acknowledge, there are a couple reasons this is really important. Number one, if you've had something painful happen in your life with your parents as the source of it, if you can't acknowledge that it was wrong, then you will never be able to grieve and mourn that loss and experience healing in yourself. There will be a block there that cannot be overcome. So we need to get to that point. If you can't come to that point in your own thoughts and remembrances of your parents, you will not be able to actually forgive them for what was done and let go of that and be free of the bitterness that might be there underneath the surface that you've always hidden away in a dark corner of your heart. If you want to be free of that, then you will need to genuinely forgive and not just make excuses. This is one of the hardest things, and I wish we had more time to talk through it and process through it together. What I would encourage you to do, if you're like, I'm not sure what to do with this, I don't know where to go from here, that's what this community is for. I would encourage you maybe after the celebration, finding somebody to pray with, whether up here in the front or someone next to you, maybe talking with someone in your life group, your LCG, one of your leaders, saying, I need some help to process through this, to recognize what it was that happened in my life, and there to be able to experience the full forgiveness and healing that Jesus died on the cross to give. For some of us as parents, we need to get into the habit of confessing to our kids and letting them know when we've fallen short. That was something I was so thankful for. I just shared with my mom yesterday. There was a time when I was a little kid. I don't remember how young, but I was pretty small. And my sister hit me. And then I raised my hand as if I was going to hit her back, but I didn't do it. I just raised my hand. And my sister started crying and ran to my mom and said, Peter hit me. And my mom believed her, grabbed me and spanked me, saying, don't hit your sister. And then afterward, I had to explain to my mom, no, mom, I didn't hit her, she hit me. I felt this injustice, this sense of just like, what, this wrong was done to me. And my mom, she said, oh, Peter, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I apologize. That was so meaningful at a young age. Just like our sister Dohi shared, even at an older age. Parents, this is one of the greatest gifts you can give to your kids. Show them you are not flawless, that you need the grace of God yourself, and to apologize and to say, this is where I have fallen short. Ask and offer forgiveness to each other will be a next thing. Ask and offer forgiveness. If you're in that situation where you've fallen short, ask for forgiveness from those you've wronged. Some of you who are parents in this room today, maybe you want to do this as a first thing this afternoon. Call up your kids if they're not around, if they're grown. Your kids, if they're still living at home with you, sit down and say, you know what, I remember this thing that happened 6 months ago. I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Ask for that. Say, please forgive me. Please forgive Dad. Please forgive Mom. And then offer that forgiveness. Some of you, maybe you recognize knowing your parents, it might take a miracle from God for them ever to apologize for anything. And you feel stuck. What do I do? First, offer forgiveness to that person with God in your heart, just you and him in the secret place. Start there. Ask God to give you the grace to offer forgiveness where it's never been asked for and where it may never be asked for. Start to offer that and just pray for your parents. Say, God, I pray that they would be released from any burden of anything that was done. Pray for God's blessing upon them. And then maybe there'll come a point where God leads you to have a conversation. Say, Mom, Dad, I know you may have forgotten about this. You may never think about it, but I want to offer you my forgiveness for something that happened when I was a kid. And offer that to them so that they can experience the grace of God, even if they've never asked for it. Lastly, choose love and gratitude. This is a choice we can make because Christ died to save us and give us life. Choose that. I'm going to love my parents, not because I owe them, but because God has loved me first. And I've seen at least a piece of God's love in my parents. I'm going to love them. I'm going to choose to be thankful. I'm going to choose to be appreciative of God's grace. I'm going to choose to be gracious and thankful and loving toward my parents, toward my kids, toward my future kids, because of what God's done for me and not because I ever earned it or deserved it. We've gone a long time this morning. Will you stand with me? We'll respond to the Lord here today. I shared with you earlier that parents need God's grace to demonstrate God's grace. And as we reflect upon that here, we don't have too much time to respond today. I apologize. There's probably tried to share too much. But we're going to come and take communion together today. And as we do that, this is a place where we acknowledge Jesus died because everyone needs that forgiveness. No parent will be perfect. No kid will be perfect either, and we'll talk about that next week. Everyone needs the grace and mercy of God. And as we come together to the communion table to reflect on what Jesus has done for us, can we rejoice together today and find hope together today in the fact that no matter how our own earthly families fall short, that Jesus gave himself to die on that cross so there could be forgiveness, so there could be healing, so there could be restoration, so there could be reconciliation. Jesus died to give us all those things, and now we're not just part of our earthly family. Now our great God and Father in heaven, who is all those things that our parents could never perfectly be, he has welcomed us into his eternal family. And as much as Mom or Dad may have fallen short, as much as you as Mom or Dad may fall short today, he welcomes you home. He says, you're my son, you're my daughter, and my grace is enough for you to bring forgiveness, to bring healing, to bring restoration. God has, our Father, has done that for us. And if you'll bow your head with me for just a moment, I want to ask you in this moment to begin coming to the cross of Jesus Christ yourself. Come before him in this moment into that secret place where you recognize your need for his grace, where you recognize your parents' need for his grace, where you recognize that one day you'll be a parent and you'll need even more of that grace. Come before him right now, and I want to encourage you right now, can you begin to bring before him those things that you've been through? Begin to bring before him your relationship with your parents. Begin to bring before him your relationship with your kids. Begin to bring before him your fears, your wounds, things that hang over you, the things that keep you from moving forward, the things that paralyze you, begin to bring those things before your Father who loves you and ask for that grace that was given to you on the cross of Christ. And ask God, God, please begin to bring forgiveness in these relationships. Please set me free if there's any bitterness in my heart, if there's unforgiveness in my heart, if there's anything holding me back. God, please begin to set me free from that. God, please work in my family to restore these relationships that seem too far gone, that seem too difficult to even talk about or bring to mind. God, begin to bring your grace and mercy. God, renew my mind from the false teachings that I might have heard. God, forgive me for the ways I've fallen short for my kids. Kids, begin to bring those things to God and say, God, this is why I need you. And as we gather here, can we, as followers of Jesus, begin to come to our God and Father, begin to come to our Savior Jesus, and invite Him through His Holy Spirit to do this work in our hearts? For those of you here who are not yet followers of Jesus Christ, say, just please let the communion elements pass by you as they come around. This is only for those who do trust and follow and believe in Jesus as that Lord and Savior who died for them, for their parents, for all of us. And if you don't trust Him that way yet, please let the communion elements pass you by and just continue joining in everything else we're doing together here. And if you're ready to place your trust in Jesus today, if you're ready to place your hope in Him, knowing that He died for you and He died for your family to give you life, to forgive you, to heal you, to restore you, well, then we welcome you to take communion with us here today. And you can even ask somebody next to you if you need some help with that. But let's all come before the Lord here, and just for the next minute as we prepare the table, bring before God your need and your family's need for His grace. Let's seek Him together as we prepare to take communion.